Welcome to the Friday edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today we're going to learn more about the rejected Messiah. When Jesus arrived in his hometown of Bethlehem, he wasn't exactly welcomed with open arms. And that pattern of rejection didn't change much, even when he was performing miracles and casting out demons. It seems that the very people he was trying to save turned their backs on him. And sadly, not much has changed in 2,000 years. But the Lord has a remnant of people on the earth who are called out, and that's what Rabbi Schneider is going to be talking about today in our series on Messianic prophecy. Let's dive in.
The Hebrew Bible very specifically told us in advance that when the Messiah came, he would be rejected by the nation of Israel. So let's go right to the text now, Isaiah 52, beginning at verse number 13. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. Now notice how he continues. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, speaking about this one that was going to be lifted up and exalted, for he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. Notice the question here. Who is going to believe this? For he didn't grow up like in some type of spectacular way that got everybody's attention, but rather he grew up, the prophet Isaiah says, like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He continues, he has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. So this one that was to come, this one that Isaiah began to say, my servant that is high and lifted up and greatly exalted in chapter 52, this one that will sprinkle many nations, this one that kings will shut their mouth because of. When he came, Isaiah said, who's going to believe it? Because he didn't come, again, like a spectacular fireburst where everyone would see him, but rather he came in a tender and in a gentle way, like a root out of parched ground. He didn't look like much, Isaiah said. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, get it now, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Who's he speaking to here? He's a Hebrew prophet in the nation of Israel. He's speaking to Israel. Isaiah the prophet, who functioned under the king Uzziah, was telling the nation of Israel that one is going to come, and he is the one that's going to sprinkle many nations and make them clean. He's going to go on to say that he's going to take our sin, and he's going to take our sickness in his own body, and by his stripes we're going to be healed. But he goes on to say to the nation of Israel, but you're going to miss him, because he didn't look like much. He had no stately form. There was nothing about his physical appearance, Isaiah said, that we should be attracted to him. He was despised, Isaiah said at the bottom of verse 3, and we did not esteem him. Men even denied that they had anything to do with him because they didn't want to be associated with them. Isaiah said he was like one from whom men hide their face. They turn the other way. Isaiah says this is going to be the plight of this one that's going to come, that it's going to take the sin of his people. Isaiah continues here in verse number 4. Surely our griefs speaking of this one that was to come, he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the messianic prophecy given to us in the prophet Isaiah, that when Mashiach came, it's a Hebrew word for Messiah, when the anointed one came, Isaiah said, Israel would not recognize him. And even that, beyond that, they would reject him and even despise him. And surely this has come to pass. In fact, sometimes in Israel, Yeshua is not referred to as Yeshua, but Yeshu, which is like a curse word towards him. May his name be blotted out. He was despised and rejected of men. And so even to this day, most of national Israel, most of the Jewish community has still not recognized that Yeshua is who he said he was and who the Hebrew prophets said he would be. All that the Hebrew prophets foretold would happen to Messiah in terms of his relationship with Israel has surely come to pass, even down, beloved ones, to this very day. Isaiah said he was despised and rejected of men. And so this is one of the strongest messianic prophecies in the scriptures. But let's just go ahead and continue to read today, beloved one, Isaiah 53, because in it you're going to hear how Yeshua so completely fulfills this portion of the Word of God. Let's continue on. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Matthew quotes this section of scripture in Matthew chapter 8 as Jesus is healing people. Matthew said he healed all their diseases, and he says to fulfill the words of the prophet. And then Matthew goes back and he quotes Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 4. He said that the nation of Israel would count him as one that was smitten of God and afflicted. In other words, today, Yeshua is often looked upon as one that is accursed in Israel. And I say this with the deepest love, like Paul, that grieved for the salvation of his people. This is still happening today. Yeshua is looked at as one that betrayed God, one that's cursed, just as Isaiah said would be the case. In verse number 5, but he, speaking of Jesus, was pierced through for our transgressions. He wasn't crucified because he was accursed by God, as many still believe today, and as many certainly thought during his own day. No, Isaiah says, he was pierced through on that cross for our sin, for our transgression. He died because of you and I. He wasn't hanging on that cross for his own sin. He was hanging on that cross for our sin. So listen again. Isaiah said, yet we ourselves, in verse number 4, esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Peter references this. By his stripes, Peter said in the New Testament, we are healed. The innocent one dying for the guilty, the just dying for the unjust. He took our sin and we took on his righteousness. This is what Isaiah is describing. And this is what Matthew and Peter were referring to, showing how Jesus fulfilled it. The just dying for the unjust. The innocent taking the sin of the guilty and healing us, even to the extent that he oftentimes extends his hand of grace to heal us now, even in our physical bodies. By his scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Hebrew letters for God's sacred name that are revealed to Moses. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Many people today feel they don't need Jesus to die for them. I can't even imagine, I don't even want to imagine what happens to people that say, I don't need Jesus to die for me. I don't want his death on the cross to be for me. I'll pay for my own sins. No, the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. That's why the Bible says, there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved but the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus with Rabbi Schneider. We want you to know there are so many ways that you can watch and listen to Rabbi's programs. Online, you'll find us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You can find resources like our television broadcast schedule, Rabbi's messages on your podcasting platform, YouTube content, devotionals, and much more. You can even follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Check out all these resources online today. When you give to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, it allows us to spend more time focusing on what really matters. And for us, that means getting God's word out to as many people as possible. And right now, at this very moment, there is someone who needs to hear Rabbi's practical biblical teaching. And your financial gift is what makes that possible. To donate, go online to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Now to conclude today's message, here's Rabbi Schneider.
Again, we're looking at messianic prophecy and how Isaiah predicted that when he came, he would be rejected. There's a remnant that believe. There's always just been a remnant. A remnant is a small number of people on the earth that truly are called out by the Father and belong to him. This is why Jesus said in John chapter 6, when so many were not believing him, Jesus said, don't grumble among yourself. Don't set yourself up thinking that you're judging me. He said, no man comes to me unless the Father draws him. And all the Father gives me will come to me. At the end of John chapter 6, there was just a few people left standing with Jesus. Yeshua said, do you want to leave also? They said, where can we go? You alone have the words of life. Jesus said to them, this is why I said to you, no man can come to me unless it's been granted by the Father. If you have the revelation to know that Jesus is your only hope, that he's the only answer, you're one of the elect of the Father if you've yielded to that call and God's love in your life. His favor is on you. You didn't gain that revelation through your own intellect or insight. The Father revealed who Jesus is to you. This is why Jesus said to Peter, who do they say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. Yeshua said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Mashiach, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he said, and this is the key. This is the key that I'm going to build my church on. I believe that key that Yeshua was referring to, the rock. This is the rock, Jesus said. The rock is revelation. If you know in your heart that Jesus is not just one of many answers, that Christianity is not just one of many religions, but that Yeshua is the only sacrifice for mankind's sin that has ever lived or will ever live, and there is no way to the Father through him, you have that revelation knowledge because the Father has chosen to reveal that to you, and not everybody gets that. You're blessed. That's what Jesus said to Peter. You're blessed. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Take God's call on your life seriously and don't take it for granted that you know in your heart that Yeshua truly and really is the Son of God. If you do know that, the only thing left is how will you respond? Will you give him your life? Because that's what he's calling us for. That's what he's calling us to give him back our life completely and without reservation. If you have the revelation that Yeshua is the Messiah, that Jesus is the only answer and that you must surrender your life to him. If you have this revelation, beloved, there's only one thing left, and that's for you and I to say yes and to give him our whole heart, our whole heart. Let's continue on. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. Remember, Yeshua was brought before Pilate, getting ready to be crucified. Jesus didn't object. He didn't shout. He didn't say, I'm innocent. But rather, he stood there silent, just like the prophet Isaiah said he would. He didn't open his mouth. And this really shook Pilate up, that Jesus stood there with such a calmness, such a peace, such a confidence, such a inward self-possession in the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And Pilate said to him, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? Jesus calmly said, you'd have no power to crucify me unless it had been given you from above. Jesus didn't even open his mouth. He didn't object even a peep, just like Isaiah predicted would happen. Verse number 8, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? In other words, no one really thought anything about him once he was crucified. Life went on. No one went back to think, oh, he was crucified, that Yeshua of Nazareth. He was crucified for me. They didn't stop and think. No, they forgot about him. No one considered. Life went on. So Isaiah said, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? Notice he also says here, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Taken away with soldiers on each hand, whipping him in advance with all kinds of scars on his back. People screaming at him, yelling at him, mocking at him, pulling out his beard. Taken away in oppression and judgment. Then crucified with people laughing and mocking. And the next day, everyone just went on as if life was normal. And so Isaiah said to the inspiration of the Lord, as for his generation, who considered that he was crucified? Who considered, Isaiah said, that this happened to him, this stroke fell upon his life for the transgression of my people, said the Lord, to whom the stroke was really due? Verse 9, his grave was assigned with wicked men. Yet he was with the rich man in his death. What does Isaiah mean? When he was being crucified with wicked men, two criminals being crucified next to him, right? Jesus in the center, just as Isaiah prophesied would happen. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with the rich man in his death. And so Jesus was considered a criminal, just like the other two that he was crucified with. But he ended up, as Isaiah prophesied, being buried in a rich man's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. I mean, when you see how Yeshua fulfilled all these messianic prophecies, it's like, wow. It just makes your faith just like pouring gasoline on a fire. Beloved ones, we don't have a long time to live on this earth. We need to run the race while we're here with the fire in our heart, praise on our lips, magnifying God and boldly declaring to the world that Jesus is the way and he's the only answer to all of life's problems.
You're listening to a message from Rabbi Schneider titled, The Rejected Messiah, here on Discovering the Jewish Jesus. You know, the book of Isaiah talks a lot about messianic prophecy, and some of it can be really confusing. But understanding Jesus through a Jewish lens can really help you deepen the roots of your Christian faith And that's why we have a treasury of Messianic content online. You'll find Messianic teaching videos, details about the biblical feasts like Passover, which started last Friday at sundown and will continue until tomorrow night. You can even read through some testimonies of people who found a greater revelation of Messiah through this radio program, like this brother from Illinois, who said, "After listening to your program, I was drawn to your ministry and the revelations received through your teachings. I am grateful to God for leading me to your ministry. I have gained a greater understanding than ever before of the scriptures. Your teachings have helped me grow in my faith, and I have become much more mature as a follower of our Messiah." We love hearing stories like this, but please know that we couldn't do what we do without your prayers and your financial support.
When you send in your tithe to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, your church, or wherever you're sending it to, you're not just sending your tithe to that ministry. What you're actually doing, beloved, is sending your tithe unto the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, that when we present our tithe to the Lord, we're presenting it to the one, beloved, Jesus Christ the righteous, who lives. I want you to know, beloved, take joy when you send in your tithes and offerings, because what you're actually doing is sending your offering, lifting up your tithe, and giving it to Jesus Himself. I want you to know I love you today. I want to ask you to be faithful with your finances to the Lord. And if this ministry is blessing you, I want to ask you to do it through this ministry.
If God is leading you to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, then I'd like to invite you. Call us today. You can reach out at 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or automate your gift each month by signing up to become a monthly partner online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You can also send a check in the mail to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. As our way of saying thank you for your generous financial gifts, we'll send you a select audio CD of Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month, and it's also available as an instant digital download, along with our current newsletter. And then, if you missed last week's Rabbi Live, be sure to catch the program online while you still can. Rabbi delivered some amazing life-transforming truths that are sure to help you find deliverance and breakthrough during this extraordinary Passover season, which ends tomorrow night. To watch this special presentation or to share it with a friend, just go online to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now, to close today's message titled The Rejected Messiah, with a special blessing, here is Rabbi Schneider.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron to speak this blessing over his people. And the Lord said, "When you speak these words over my people, I will place my name on them and bless them." Receive the impartation of the Lord's blessings.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up by His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Join us again when Rabbi Schneider shows us what to do when we're facing persecution. Be listening Monday to Discovering the Jewish Jesus.